following message is brought to you by Morgan Hill Bible Church. For all things MHBC, connect with us on social media and check us out online at mhbible.org.
A posture of being all grown up, right? They're saying, we're choosing, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, we're the mature ones, we're all grown up and able to evaluate you, Paul, and Apollos, and any other teacher that comes, we're the mature ones. And Paul is saying to them, no, your identity in Christ isn't the mature one, it isn't adult, your identity in Christ is child of God. Because what is maturity? What is full maturity? In fact, Paul talks about this, and I think it's in Philippians. He says, full maturity, to grow up into full maturity, is to be in complete understanding of everything there is to know about God. That's maturity. And he looks at the Corinthians and says, is anybody there? Is anybody here there? Are you there? I'm not there. The real reality, with all of my studying and all of my work, when I really reflect on how much I don't know about God. I'm about 3 weeks old in my infancy of understanding everything there is to know about God. And Paul is saying to the people, the scripture passage is saying, your identity in Christ is as children. He's echoing what Jesus said to the disciples, remember? The disciples were doing the same thing the people in Corinth were doing. They were saying, oh, we're mature. They're arguing over who is the greatest among them. And what does Jesus do? I put the passage up here. He calls to him a child. He puts the child in the midst and says, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He calls us children of God. That's the identity. And what's happening with this identity? What's going on around it? Because I love what it's saying. I was in the grocery store just the other day. I was getting Mexican food and kind of trying to figure out what we were doing for dinner. And there was another gal there with her little kid. And we were looking kind of awkwardly around at the same shelf. And another gal walked by who had a disaster occur to her at the hair salon. Something horrible happened because there were purples and blues and oranges in her hair. No colors that ever should be seen or have been seen in the created order were in her hair. And you could tell she felt a little bad, but the little kid looked up, pointed, and went, ooh, mommy, look at that hair. And mom was horrified, right? But the woman came up and just said, don't worry, to the mom, and touched the kid and said, it's okay, and yeah, it's crazy, and had this incredible conversation. There was this grace given to the child. Why? Because everybody understands about children, they're learning. Kids are just trying to figure it out. They don't know. They don't understand at all. And Paul is saying to us in this passage, your identity in Christ is not one who's got it all together and all figured out. Take the posture of learning and being a learner. Together, we're children of God. We've been adopted into his family, but we're not called to be the mature ones. That's not our identity. Our identity is children. And as I say that, you might be thinking to yourself, but wait, it doesn't seem that warm in this passage, right? There seems to be a rebuke because Paul says, I couldn't address you as spiritual, as gospel-centered and gospel-driven, but I could only address you as infants. I fed you with spiritual milk, not solid food, he goes on to talk about. So there's some kind of judgment going on there. And I always read this and thought that it was my responsibility to grow and that Paul was rebuking the Corinthians and me because I wasn't growing. But that's not the case. Because look at what he says in verse 6 and 7. In verse 6 and 7, I'll underline it on the screen. He says in verse 5, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed and the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And so that he emphasizes the point, he repeats the exact point. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God gives the growth. So they're not being rebuked because they're not growing. They're being rebuked because they're not taking an attitude of a humble, non-pretentious child. They're not sitting in a posture of learning. And that's the rebuke. Do you ever get frustrated at a child when they're not growing? You get frustrated because they choose to put themselves in an attitude or a position where they won't submit or won't learn. That's where frustration comes. But when they're not growing, that growth is happening. And God's responsible for that growth. You don't look and say, you should be size 7 shoes now, not size 6. What's wrong with you? That's not what's going on. And we get frustrated when people don't have that attitude. And that's what's going on here. We are children of God, adopted co-heirs with Christ. We're children of God. And our responsibility is to take a non-pretentious, humble attitude of learner. I'm just trying to figure it out. And isn't there great grace in that? For us as a church, the identity of the person sitting next to you is child. They're not the ones who have it all together. They're children. I know because sometimes I hear that people will walk onto our church campus. Sometimes I'll even feel it. I'll walk on campus and I'll think, everybody here has it together. I don't. Everybody here seems to have this all figured out, and I don't. And I start to see everybody and try to judge myself based on how much growth I have, as opposed to living into an identity as I'm a child and they're a child, and all of us are children. And our job is to take a position of learner, and God is the one causing growth. You are a child of God. And then he goes on in verse 8, he says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each who receives his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. Underline that. You are God's child, and you are God's field. You are the field. What's the responsibility of the field? What's a field supposed to do? The field is supposed to be there to provide the nutrients, to channel the water, to allow the light to come so that the seed planted in it can grow, right? That's the field's responsibility. But in our culture and in our minds, we shift things and we want to make ourselves the farmer of our own personal life. Here's how that works. We're in the process of college applications in our house. We're working on doing college, and we're all caught up, and oh my gosh, we've got to apply to the right school with the right grades. We've got to make all of this happen. We've got to farm our lives to determine the fruit of our lives. We've got to be the ones actively managing all of this stuff. The great grace of this passage is that you're not the farmer. You're the field. And God is the one doing work through circumstances and people he brings into your life to nurture and help you be the field you need to be to nurture the seed planted in you. What's the seed planted in you? Remember what Jesus said in the parable. He told this parable. It was a little story. He said, a sower goes out to sow some seed. And some of the seed scattered along the path, some of it on rocky ground, some of it among the weeds, others among fertile soil, and it grew up and bore a great harvest. And the disciples went, Jesus, we're confused. What's that parable about? And Jesus said, the seed sown is the gospel. And that is to say, as a field, your responsibility is to nurture, nourish, provide nutrient for the gospel, the word of God planted in you. You're a field. You're not responsible for its growth, but you are responsible to bring light, to channel the water that has been watered in it, to give it the nutrients. That's what a field does. It says an incredible grace that is given by God in this. And as I say it, I feel guilty and a little bit convicted because I'm a good Bible reader. I don't know how good I am as a Bible reader. nurturer, as a gospel nurturer. I get up in the morning, every morning. It's a habit I've had since right after college. I read Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. Now I'm reading my way through a book. I always am reading my way through a single book as well. And so I get all of that reading done and I move on with my day. Sometimes my day is pretty crunched, so I read really well. But when I think about this role as a field, I ask myself the question, but am I really nurturing the word of God, the seed of God that is planted in me? Am I focusing on those few words that stood out to me in the gospel message that I read this morning and spending time allowing those words to resonate in me and reverberate in me? And am I giving it light and water and air and nutrients? Am I doing that with God's word? Or am I just checking off a list that I read stuff? That's the call. You are the field. And our job as a field is to nurture the word of God that is planted in us. You're the child of God. You're a field of God. And then he comes to the last one. So I'll read verse 10. And starting in verse 10. And read through. He says, according to the grace given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold or silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest for the day, for the day will disclose it. Each one's work will become manifest for the day will disclose it. What is the day? Why is that in capitals? The day is, for if you're new to the Bible, is the final judgment day. The day when Jesus comes and puts the world right and the world as we know it ends and the kingdom of God is fully and finally ushered in. And on that day, all creation goes through the fire, and through that fire of the judgment of God, we find our salvation because Jesus provides everything the believer needs, all covered in righteousness and his blood to enter into the promise of his kingdom. That's the day. And on that day, work is judged by that fire. But whose work? The builder's work? Is that being judged? Or the building? It's the builder's work that's being judged, right? Paul is here talking about himself and Apollos and everyone else who takes a position of teaching, and that's the judgment. When I read this the first time, I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to make sure as a building that I'm doing all the right things, that I'm building with gold and silver and fine jewels. I sure don't want to be building with wood and sticks and hay. I thought the judgment was coming on me as the building, but that's not what's happening. The judgment is coming on the builders, and look what it says about you. Do you not know, in verse 16, that you are God's temple? Underline that. You are the building of God. You are the child of God. You are the field of God, and you are God's building, God's temple. When I read that the first time, I was a little disappointed with that. In fact, Peter makes it even more simple in 1 Peter. He says, you are living stones. And I never liked it because I'm like, I want to be more than a living stone. I want to be more than a wall, a temple. I want to be more than a building. I've got to be more than that. But what was the building of God to the people of Israel? What was the temple? The temple was this. It was the place where the God of the universe promised to meet people. The temple was the place where the God of the universe guaranteed that he would meet people. And this passage is saying, you are the temple. I thought it was a little demeaning, but it is actually incredibly uplifting. You are the place where the God of the universe guarantees to meet people. You, when you run into your neighbor taking in your trash cans. You are the place where the God of the universe promises to meet people. When you're sitting around the table in the conference room for the meeting, you are the place where the God of the universe promises to meet people. You are the temple of God. When you're in line at Starbucks waiting for your next coffee, you are the place where the God of the universe promises to meet people. That's the identity. We are children of God. We are fields of God, and we are the temple of God. Paul talks about this later in chapter 7. There's a debate that happens within the church. Somebody raises their hand to ask Paul a question, and they say, Paul, a few weeks ago, I committed my life to Jesus Christ. I've become a new creation in God. I came forward for that commitment, but my husband didn't, and my husband actually is mad at me that I did. Should I divorce him? It was a valid question, actually, because religious allegiance was almost as close as family allegiance. And so that was the question that came to Paul. And Paul's answer is really interesting. He says, no, you shouldn't. Because how do you not know that through your marriage with him or her, they might find salvation? What did he mean by that? Did he mean that your job as a husband or wife married to a non-believing husband or wife was to preach at them, cajole them, nag them until they finally assent to believe in Jesus? Well, that's definitely not what's going on. What's going on is he's referring to this reality, that we as individuals are the temple of God, the place where the God of the universe guarantees to meet people. God wants to meet people through you. Your children, your fields, your infants. Our role is to take the attitude of a learner, to nourish the word that's been planted in us, and to bring the presence of God to the world around us. But now I'm hoping that there's a little part in the back of your head that where you're saying to yourself, I'm a little dissatisfied with the sermon thus far. Because there's a bunch of layers in this sermon, and I've only talked about one. This is the one layer about our identity, but there's another layer going on. There's actually a couple more layers going on. The next layer that's happening in this, which you probably picked up, is that every you in this scripture passage is directed toward a people, not an individual person. This isn't an individualistic message. This is a message. It was a message to a church. So when he says you, he's actually saying, and I prefer the Texas version, he's actually saying y'all. You guys, I guess. But y'all kind of works a little bit better. I like it. It's the one thing I took from Texas that I still would like to hold on to. He's saying y'all. This is a message to a body of people, right? It is to individuals. Our identity is children, field, temple. But it's us too. We, as Morgan Hill Bible Church, the church, are children. Here's why this is so significant. We want to think, and our culture pushes us to a place where people at church are supposed to have it all together, and the church itself is supposed to be all grown up and have it all figured out. Right? I was riding bikes with a new acquaintance. I ride with the folks from Specialized every now and then. And, you know, we're talking about what he does at Specialized. Word comes around, what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm a pastor. And I said, I'm at Morgan Hill Bible Church. And he goes, oh, before he could catch himself, he goes, oh, I hate that. I was like, whoa, what do you mean? What? That's pretty hostile. He goes, well, I ride my bikes every now and then on Sunday, and I'll ride down Monterey, and it's church time, and like people are just turning in and nobody cares about cyclists and, you know, this whole thing, right? And you guys should be better than that. Aren't you more mature? You know, was his attitude that he was giving me. And I had a chance, because the ride was still going, to say to him, that's why people are at church. We're all a mess. We're bad drivers. We're sinners. We're broken. We don't have it all together. It's incredible grace, and it is true. As we do what we do as a church body, we don't have it all figured out. We're children of God, and we're all, as a congregation, taking an attitude of learner, and we are the field of God. our role is to nurture the gospel, to protect, to care for the truth of the gospel that is planted in us. That's why we're called Morgan Hill Bible Church, right? It's right there. It's in the name. It's at the heart of who we are. Our core value, the first one, is Scripture. We want to nurture this word. We want to give it light and water and nourishment and life. That's why we're gathered. That's why we open the Bible every Sunday. That's why we move through Scripture the way we do, because we want everything focused on God's word. And we are the temple of God. We're the place where the God of the universe guarantees to meet people. That's why we invite our friends to church, right? We invite people, and usually it's not because the music's going to be that good or the sermon's that good, and we may throw that out as bait, but our real hope is what? That they would encounter the God of the universe. And God's promise is that he would meet us here. So there's that layer. This isn't just a you sermon. This is a we sermon. But there's another layer yet. Because there's all this conversation about Paul and Apollos, right? And they're being judged a little bit. I can't call you spiritual. I had to call you infants. And you're saying, I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. And Apollos is watering, and Paul is planting, and then there's all of these people that are building, and there's judgment around the building that's happening. Here's the third layer. Paul is using himself and Apollos to also speak to us and call us to a whole new purpose. We have the identity as children and fields and the temple, but we also have the purpose to be nursery workers, to be farmers, and to be builders. Not of ourselves. God's about working that. And God's bringing people into our life, but our responsibility is to be doing that work with other people, to be nursery workers caring for the growth and spiritual maturity of other people in our lives, and to be farmers who are doing the watering and the fertilizing and the pruning in other people's lives, and to be builders who take care with the material that is being put in the lives of people. That's the second or the third layer of this passage, and it's really important. If you want to see the summary of the passage, it's here. Only God gives growth, right? That's at the heart. It's repeated. It's at the middle of this passage and repeated twice. Only God gives growth. And you are a field, and you are a child, and you are a temple. And we are a field and a child and a temple. And that means there's some work for us to do. And so I put the work for us to do up as questions. If you want to, feel free. You can take a phone out and take a picture if you don't want to write it down. But here are the questions. I'll give them to you one by one. As children, if we're going to live into this identity as children, who is caring for me and who am I caring for? Who is caring for me and who am I caring for? As children, we've got to look out and say, do I have people who are nursery workers for my spiritual development? And who am I doing nursery work with to develop their spiritual development? Who am I working with to help change diapers and feed and play games with? Who am I doing that work with? It's a question to begin to let resonate throughout your week, and I encourage you to take it and just start asking yourself that question, because as we live into this identity as children, this question becomes an important one. Every single person needs that worker working to deliver care in their life. But if every person needs that, then you're going to be needed to be a nursery care worker. The next question is this: as a field, who is tending me and who am I tending? Or who is farming me and who am I farming? Who's bringing the fertilizer and doing the weeding and doing the pruning in my life? Is there a person that you've invited in to do that hard work? Because it's hard work, right? I imagine being a tree. I have a little lemon tree at my house, and I want it to look like a tree. It really just looks like a bush. And so I've been pruning off all of the bottom branches, and I just kind of personalize that a little bit. It can't feel good to have a limb cut off, right? And that's hard work, but having people in our lives who will come to us and say, I don't think that should be in your life. I don't think. And somebody will come along and weed, and somebody will come along and bring the richness of truth to us to help us to be the field that can fully nurture the Word of God planted in us. And who are we doing that with? Who are we walking alongside and saying with humility and with gentleness and with all love and grace, maybe that shouldn't be in your life. Maybe it's not good for you to partake in that activity or to be thinking this way. Do you have somebody like that? And the last question is, who is building you and who are you building? Who is building into you and who are you building? And on the who are you building part, this is the part that gets pretty technical, right? Because there's different building materials. There's gold and silver and jewels and wood and sticks and hay. And what's being talked about there, that is the quality of the truth or the doctrines you are delivering as a builder. That's what that is. And so if the quality of the things you're teaching, the people in your life, is not good, it's hay or sticks or wood. But if it is good, it is gold and jewels and silver. What determines which is which? What determines gold, jewels, and silver versus wood, sticks, and hay? What's the determinant? The determinant is how much the ideas and truth you are teaching fully reflect the Word of God. It's great to have ideas, right? But those ideas are only good and only valuable if they can be found reflected fully in Scripture. And so you'll hear it in our small groups. We do this in small groups a lot. We'll be studying Scripture, and someone will say, well, I think, and they give, you know, they lay out a truth there. And the leader will say, well, where do you see that in Scripture? I'd love to know. And they're saying it out of humility, but why are they actually asking the question? Because the question is that a piece of hay you just flung into the group, or is that gold and silver? Something that we can really build our lives on. And that becomes our responsibility as the people of God. Not only to have people building into us, but to be builders and to build with quality materials. And the quality material is the teachings that we have refined fully by the Word of God. That's the responsibility. And you might think to yourself, wait, but I didn't go to seminary. I don't have a doctorate. Who am I to know that much? You have something better than a degree. You have the Holy Spirit abiding in you. And not only that, but you have people around you who have the Holy Spirit. And together, as you talk about and refine the things that you're teaching and delivering, those teachings get refined and worked on by the Holy Spirit working in you. We are children and fields and temples. And we get the purpose and role, not just to have people tending us and nurturing us, but we get the role of being farmers and builders and nursery workers in other people's lives. Those are the words that God has given us. And the goal, the hope of this is that these words would begin to complement the other gift words we've been given and would push aside some of the curse words that have been laid in our life, and that this gospel identity would be foundational. I hear these words, by the way, and I think to myself, well, they're not really inspiring, right? You're an infant. You're a field. You're a building. You know, I like tank. That's a lot better, right? Tank, forward, charge, power. Field, not so much. But didn't Jesus do a similar thing? On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread and he said, I am bread and I am wine. And because of his bread, his body broken for us. And because of the wine, his blood shed for us, our taking of the bread and drinking of the wine ushers us into the possibility of living under this gift of words that shape our identity and change how we live in the world.
Thanks for listening. Continue the conversation with us on social media. Never miss a message and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.